Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey guys, producer Sean Birch here. You're about to listen to an episode of Deemable Tech recorded live in front of a very gracious audience at Bold Bean Coffee Roasters in Jacksonville, Florida. I just wanted to take a moment to let you know that as it is a live recording, and our first one at that, there are a few hiccups along the way, including one problem with a little feedback near the beginning, and a couple instances where our theme song started playing for no reason. But I hope that you don't find them too distracting, and they only last a few seconds. And if you were there that night, thank you so much for coming out. And please let us know if you'd like to see us do it again. We're happy to come out into the community and speak directly to you. As always, thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the show.
From Bold Bean Coffee Roasters on Stockton Street in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is...
Awesome.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
And of course, Deemable Tech is tech help worth talking to. Well, if you haven't caught on yet, we are doing things different tonight. We are recording the show live in front of a live audience. So thanks to Bold Bean Coffee Roasters for hosting this event for us. Make sure,
yes, give them a round of applause. Yes.
Make sure to grab a drink or three while you're here, or pick up a pound of coffee on your way out to say thanks.
If you have a question about your computer, smartphone, tablet, or the internet, you can give us a call. We have a voicemail at 1-888-972-9868, or send us an email at questions@deemable.com, or come up here and write on an index card.
Yeah, normally they can't do that, but
they
yes.
They normally can't do that, but tonight you can.
Yep. Well, we are going to have some fun tonight. We have some questions to answer, some debunkables to debunk. That's something we do on our show, and some announcements to announce, and some awesome apps to talk about. Couldn't come up with an alliteration for that one.
Yeah, bad.
And like I said, we are going to have some audience participation. So normally we read the emails to each other, but since we
in a loving voice.
Yes, but since we have all of you lovely people here, we're going to have you read them. So, I mean, we've already read the emails. Let me be clear. We've already read the emails, but we're going to have you read them on the show. You know how it works. Okay, so without further ado.
We're going to start off with one of the most common questions Ray and I get. It's something we've talked about before a little bit. If you've listened to the show, you're kind of familiar with our stances on these issues, but we've never really sat down and hashed it out.
Yeah.
Tonight, we are going to do that.
That works for me. So, Joelle, will you come read that for us? We should have had some walking up to the microphone music. Oh, right here. Right there. There you go.
Step up. Hey, give it up for Joelle.
Woohoo! And just the bold part.
Hi, I'm in the market for a new phone, and I want the best one out there. But should I get the iPhone 5 or the Samsung Galaxy S3?
Okay, thank you.
So the iPhone 5 or the Samsung Galaxy S3? I think the answer to this is pretty cut and dried, Ray.
I totally agree, Tom. If people want the best phone out today, they definitely should buy the iPhone 5.
The Samsung Galaxy S3. Wait, what did you say?
I said the iPhone 5.
No, that's not the right answer.
Tom, the iPhone was the original touchscreen smartphone. I mean, it's still the number one phone in the world. You can't seriously suggest that it's not the top of the smartphone world.
Listen, there's no question that the iPhone was a trailblazer back in the day, but Apple has been resting on their laurels, and other companies have been innovating and doing cool stuff. Samsung in particular, I think they've knocked it out of the park with the Galaxy S3.
I have one.
It's all right.
Not being paid by Samsung, by the way. When they announced the iPhone 5 last fall, every Android phone owner I know was rolling their eyes because all the features that they were announcing was stuff that we had had for years. So turn-by-turn directions, oh, special. My Droid X had that 3 years ago.
All right, listen. Apple doesn't do, they don't add new features until they know that they can do them the best. Okay, so yes, Android gets stuff first sometimes. But, you know, Apple waits until they know they can do it the best, you know, except for that, you know, Apple Maps thing that it goes so well.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, no other phone comes to close to the feel of the iPhone 5. I mean, it's slender, it's lightweight, it has that high-quality aluminum case.
When you say slender and lightweight, I hear tiny. I mean, the iPhone 5 is finally starting to catch up and get a little bit of a larger screen, which the other phone's been sporting for ages. My GS3 has a huge amount of screen space, and sure, the iPhone 5 may feel solid, but it's got the same boxy shape the first iPhone had. Meanwhile, my GS3 has curves, baby.
Okay. Regardless of all that, the iPhone is just a better, smoother overall experience. I mean, Android feels clunky by comparison, even after Jelly Bean.
Whatever. You obviously have not used Jelly Bean. It is smooth as butter now. Plus, I can customize my GS3 to my heart's content. I can change the default browser, uninstall apps I don't use. I can put widgets on my desktop. I could go on.
Okay, Tom, but which phone would you give to your grandmother? I mean, would she even know what a widget is? She'd be lost on the GS3.
Well, Ray, I think she'd be lost on an iPhone, too, since she's dead.
Okay, well, that was awkward. Just out of curiosity for you guys, how many of you have iPhones? Okay, so we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I see 8. One's taking a picture of us right now.
Okay. Who has a phone that is running Android? Any Android? Oh, yeah, there's my people. Yeah. Oh, two hands. Excellent.
All right, but no. We weren't comparing iPhone to Android. Of course, there's more Android phones. They put Android on everything nowadays. They put it on ATMs and microwaves. It's everywhere.
Okay. So. Does anyone have a Galaxy S3 specifically? Or
yes, one sir. Guy.
That's my man.
You're cool.
Yeah. S2 or any of the Galaxies?
All right.
Boom, boom. All right, cool. How about a Nexus? Anyone have a Nexus? Okay, I think we're good.
Oh, we got Nexuses out there. All right, fine.
All right,
so let's just break down the differences between the two.
Sure.
Obviously, the iPhone has a lot more apps.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
We've got the higher resolution screen.
Yeah,
we got a really great camera. And, of course, we have Siri.
It's true, but, now Android has Google Now, which is like Siri, but she doesn't talk back.
That's true.
And she's faster. There's Google Maps, and I'm not going to bring up Apple
Maps.
Hey,
we have Google Maps now, again.
Yeah.
It's good.
We have deep integration with Google, so Google Drive, Gmail, all that stuff. It's automatically connected.
I do have to say, though, after Google has put out the new apps for Google Drive and the Google Search app, the integration with Google is a lot better than it used to be. So.
Yeah, fair enough. And you guys are just getting this, but we've had deep integration with Facebook for a long time.
True.
All my Facebook contacts are my phone contacts. We don't have as many apps, but our app store is a little less restrictive. What doesn't have to go by the Steve Jobs approval ghost.
All right. So obviously there are advantages and disadvantages to both kinds of phones.
Yeah, I guess so. We like to argue because we're huge nerds, but honestly, which phone you should get comes down to what your needs are. If you want a big, heavily customizable phone that has a lot of integration into Google's ecosystem, Samsung Galaxy S3 or the Nexus or any other phones with the latest version of Android are really great phones.
Yeah, but if you want a streamlined experience that feels very elegant and just works, then the iPhone 5 is a terrific choice for that.
All right. Well, we'll agree to disagree, but...
All right. We got another question?
I think we do. Do we have anyone who wants to read a question?
Anyone will read a question
for
us. Joelle ran away.
Joelle ran away.
So I guess she's not going to do it.
She can't do it.
Aaron!
Come on, man.
One of our guest hosts, Aaron Edelson.
Give it up for Aaron Edelson, everybody.
Aaron, how about you read this one for me? Come on over here. You know how this works.
Teresa writes, "Help, I just spilled tea on my laptop keyboard. Have I just ruined the laptop? Or is there any way I could dry it out and save it?"
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Teresa, stop whatever you're doing if you're listening and listen. This is very important. We can help you, but you have to work fast. So the first thing you need to do is to power off the laptop entirely. You need to unplug it. You need to hold down the power button until it shuts down. Then, if possible, remove the battery. This is very important. Not only could it stop the liquid from entering your computer and shorting it out, it could keep you from inadvertently electrocuting yourself. So,
yeah, the next thing you want to do is turn the laptop upside down. You want to get that liquid draining out before it gets to anything critical. Grab a paper towel and work on drying off anything you can reach, like the keyboard keys, the buttons, and of course, obviously, the screen.
And then you need to just let it sit and dry out as best you can and hope for the best.
Now, what about heat? Would that help it dry faster?
Light heat is okay, but you shouldn't leave your laptop in direct sunlight, and you should make sure there's no moisture. And even if you have a dehumidifier, that's a great way to dry out a laptop. You want no moisture whatsoever.
All right, what about a hair dryer? Should that be used?
No, not a good idea.
How come?
Well, for starters, it's blowing hot air at a high speed into the machine, which can cause static electricity to build up. That's bad. Even worse, if it's hot enough, it can melt components. That's worse.
That is true.
So if you really want to get it good and dry and you're feeling brave, you can get a screwdriver and open up your laptop. And then you can use a microfiber cloth or a paper towel to blot up any moisture you find. Gently.
And of course, opening your laptop will void your warranty often. But something to keep in mind, too, with smaller electronics, you can always stick them in a bag of rice.
Yes, that's true, and that actually works. Weird thing that actually works.
Those little silica gels that you see, don't eat them. Hang on to them because they're really great for absorbing moisture. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. So you can use them as well.
Cool, yeah, and it's kind of a trade-off. If you're worried about the warranty, well, the faster you can get it dry, the more likely it is to keep working. On the other hand, you might void the warranty. But if it's older and the warranty's expired, I would just open it up. If you're careful, there's really no harm. Just make sure to stay grounded while you're touching anything inside the device so you won't cause static shocks.
Yeah, and another thing is when you're dealing with moisture anyways, that will usually void your warranty out anyway. So it won't really matter because they're going to see that there's been moisture detected. And
yeah, they're not going to be like, oh, this was one of the models that came with tea.
But of all the things to spill, tea is actually kind of a good thing to spill because, especially if you didn't have sugar in it, it's not too sticky and it should clean up pretty easily.
Yeah, personally, I always like to spill a nice iced latte with a whipped cream.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All right, we got another question. Do we have a volunteer to read?
Anyone? Anybody?
Anyone? Be famous.
Kenny
Quake. Come be famous.
Kenny Quake, come on up here, man. Thank you, sir.
Yes, our audience is full of plants.
Odessa writes, how can I turn off my Facebook account?
Boom.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that is a good question, Odessa. A recent study by the Pew Research Center showed that 61% of Facebook users claim to have taken a break from Facebook for several weeks or more. I'm curious, how many people in here have taken time off from Facebook in the past 2 years? Yeah. So that's not quite 61%, but that's a good number. I did.
I can't do it.
You can't do it?
No.
I gave it for Lent last year.
No, not going to happen. There's no need to. Why would you do that? That's where all my friends are. I don't have friends in real life. They're all on Facebook.
You're making me sad.
732. I'm proud of that number. It's like the MySpace days. I just collect friends. You should friend me. It's Ray Hollister. I'll accept you even if I don't know you.
I think you should be quiet now. I found it kind of freeing. I didn't realize until I got off Facebook how much I was on Facebook. It's just one of those things. But yes, so a lot of people at times are like, you know what, I'm done with Facebook. It's a time waster, whatever. Maybe you're having some drama and you want to get off. You could just log off Facebook.
I did that, but I just stopped playing Mob Wars. Yeah. That took care of the problem.
But logging off Facebook won't stop people from posting on your wall or tagging you in photos or sending you messages. So you really need to take more drastic action.
I'm getting Facebook messages right now about this. That's kind of weird. It's kind of meta. I'm actually getting messages about it.
Yeah.
They're not important.
Okay. And by the way, to be really meta, we're live streaming this. If you went to deemable.com/live right now, you would see the video that you're seeing in front of you, and then the universe would explode. All right.
Would it implode or explode?
I don't know.
You should know that. Don't bring up references unless you know the research. I've told you this.
So Facebook actually gives you two options if you want to get off Facebook. The first is to deactivate your account, which disables it but does not delete it. Right. It doesn't delete your friends list, your history, the pictures you uploaded, or whatever. Basically, if you want to take a break from Facebook, this is a great option. Facebook also gives you the nuclear option, which is total deletion. Your account will be theoretically gone forever. And if you want to come back to Facebook at some point, you'll be starting from scratch. Now, I say theoretically because Facebook admits that some of your photos may still be bouncing around a server somewhere, but claims that no one can access them. Now, here's how to deactivate your account, not to kill your account forever. But you would log into Facebook, and then in the upper right-hand corner of the Facebook page, by where you see your name, there's a little gear icon. And if you click that, you'll see a list of options, including account settings. And if you click account settings, you'll see a menu. And on the left-hand side, one of the options that under general is security. And if you click security, this is actually a really good page to take a look at in general, even if you're not going to disable Facebook, because this tells Facebook what you want people to see by default. But we're not here to talk about that today. Down at the bottom of that page, sort of hiding out there, are three magic little words: deactivate my account. Almost as if Facebook doesn't want you to notice it, huh? Well, now you have, so click it. Don't worry if you haven't decided to do this for sure. You definitely aren't committed yet, because now you arrive at what I call the Facebook guilt trip page.
The guilt trip page?
Yes. This page is awesome. Believe it or not, Facebook is going to show you pictures of your peeps who are on Facebook, each with a so-and-so will miss you message underneath them, and it asks them if you want to send them a message before you say goodbye forever.
That
now,
is
your,
really
your
bad.
Mileage may vary, but I feel Facebook is definitely trying to tug on my heartstrings there.
Yeah, that's pretty brazen. Wow.
And it gets better. I don't know if this is intentional, but whenever I look at this page, it shows me pictures of female friends on Facebook, all of whom are young and single. Now, be strong. Remember that you can still pick up the phone and call these people at any time. And if you move on down the page, Facebook wants you to tell them why you're leaving, et cetera, et cetera. Fill out whatever information you feel like and move on. There's a box that I definitely recommend clicking that says opt out of receiving emails from Facebook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would check that so Facebook can't harass you from beyond the grave, so to speak.
Email you on and on. But hey, you know, one thing you didn't mention is that if you are, you mentioned Android and iPhone now have Facebook integration, so your phone numbers on your phone are often from Facebook.
That's true.
I found that I've called people and I didn't actually have their number. They were on Facebook. So if you leave Facebook completely, you're going to lose those numbers if you don't, you know, save them to your contacts.
Yeah, that is a possibility. If you have the contact purely through Facebook, it will just likely disappear.
Just trying to, you know, support the idea that it's not a bad addiction. It's not a problem.
It's okay to walk away, and I think maybe you should.
not going to happen.
Anyway, if you're ready to take the final plunge, you can click the confirm button there at the bottom, and boom, you're deactivated. Done.
Cool. Well, speaking of Facebook, we are going to test your...
Yeah, you're skipping some stuff.
I am?
Yeah.
What did I skip?
You just totally bogarted me.
Well, you should say more stuff then.
All right.
I thought you were done.
I'll do your part.
Okay.
But wait, Tom, what if I just changed my mind? How do I reactivate?
Oh,
well,
right.
That's easy,
I meant to
Ray.
Ask you that. I did want to ask him that. So, hey, Tom, what if I change my mind? What if I want to reactivate?
I'm glad you asked. That's pretty easy. You just log back into Facebook, and you are instantly
It's right
back.
There in the notes, too.
Yeah, it's right there. Right there.
Awesome.
But if you're really serious about quitting Facebook, like you want to delete your account forever, that's more involved. You've got to click on the arrow beside your name and go to Help. And then in search for help box, type delete my account. And at this point, Facebook is going to walk you through a delete request form. Then they manually process this. A live human being is going to make sure that you want to kill your Facebook account. And this could take up to 2 weeks. I have honestly never tried this option, so I don't know exactly how it goes. I can't give you much more guidance from there. Hopefully Facebook will be in touch. I've heard a rumor that every time you complete this process, you can hear Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg shouting, "No!" But I can't confirm that. I'm sure Facebook won't make it any easier for you than they have to, but be brave and be strong and good luck.
So the bottom line is, if you deactivate it, you can just reactivate it just by logging back in.
Yeah.
But if you delete it, you're gone. You're out.
They do have a limit. You can't just like deactivate every day. There actually used to be people that did that.
Oh.
They called it like the hard log off.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't want activity on their page when they weren't there to watch it. But you can no longer do that. You have to wait like 2 days after you've come back to deactivate again.
Okay.
All right.
Well, now.
Now
we're going to test your IIQ. He wrote this. Internet Intelligence Quotient. With our segment that we call Debunkable. If you listen to the show, we do this a lot. We take things that we see on Facebook and through email forwards, and we find out whether they're real or fake.
That's right.
Okay, so like I said, what we do is we take those stories that are circulating around the internet and research and find out whether they're true or false. It used to be that these were chain forwards, and they were mostly done through email.
That's right. Some of them actually date all the way back to chain letters. It's very interesting that the hoax continues to evolve on different types of technology.
Right, but with changing technologies, they do find new homes and text messages and Twitter and Facebook. So we have three chain reposts that we've spotted on Facebook just in the last week.
Now, what are signs that people can look for to know if something is a chain letter or a chain repost or whatever?
Well, typically they're reposted by a friend from someone on Facebook that you don't know. They almost always tell some sad story or a warning of some urgent danger. And there's always, always a call to action that which tries to scare or guilt you into reposting the update yourself. So what we're going to do is we're going to read these chain letters aloud.
Yep.
And then everyone here can vote on whether you think that this is true or false. So Tom, why don't you go ahead and read the first one?
Okay, cool. I spotted this one in my news feed this week, complete with very spotty English. My guess is that it originated as a text message. So I'm going to read it as written. Here we go. It says, a little girl, 3 years old, picked up by a man driving a gray car, license plate, Quebec, 72B381, Canada. Reblog this. It could save her. The kidnapping is recent, so do it. 3 seconds will not kill you. What if it were your child?
And the weird thing is, this wasn't text on a post. It was actually a screenshot of something as a picture.
That's why I think it might have been a text message originally.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, show of hands. Who thinks this is true? Anyone?
Anybody.
Anyone at all? Who thinks it's false?
A lot of falses. Everybody.
Anyone on the fence? Undecided?
Anybody not even paying any attention? You.
Sorry.
That's awesome.
I'll admit it.
Sorry. No, it's awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so what's the real answer? Sean, can we get a drum roll, please?
False.
Yes. That's right. This is a fake Amber Alert. Good call, everybody. This is a fake Amber Alert. And it's actually been circulating in various forms since 2009. The hoax probably got its start from a real missing child situation that happened back in 2003. There was a little girl named Jewel Strong who went missing, and her parents circulated an appeal for help, which was accompanied by a photograph. Well, the hoaxsters, or whoever started this fake Amber Alert, actually picked up that circular and used the little girl's picture with the plea for help. Now, the picture has since kind of disappeared from the story. But that's where it got started, as far as we can tell. And this is Snopes.com and UrbanLegends.about.com, which are both great sites to look up this kind of stuff.
Yes.
They both have extensive documentation proving this plea for help is a hoax, and it's a pretty mean-spirited one at that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically capitalizing on an actual little girl who actually disappeared, so that's kind of pretty low.
Yeah, and by the way, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children actually maintains a website where you can view active Amber Alerts. So if you see something like this come across your Facebook feed or get emailed to you, you can verify it for yourself. There's a webpage out there that shows you what the real Amber Alerts across the nation are right now. Okay, Ray, so...
And we'll include links to that and to Snopes and to UrbanLegends.about.com in our show notes on Deemable.com.
That's right. Ray, I know you spot another one of these week.
I did.
And it really is the bomb, as the kids say.
Wow, that was bad. Okay. So the Facebook message goes like this. Please read, will not hurt to and forward. Literally says to and forward. Kids are putting Drano, tin foil, and a little water in plastic drink bottles and capping it up, leaving it on lawns, in mailboxes, in gardens, in driveways, etc. Just waiting for you to pick it up, intending to put it in the rubbish, but you'll never make it.
This must have been British originally. It says rubbish.
Yeah, rubbish.
That's rubbish.
So if the bottle is picked up and the bottle is shaking even just a little, in about 30 seconds or less, it builds up enough gas, which then explodes with enough force to remove some of your extremities. The liquid then comes out and is boiling hot as well. Don't pick up any plastic bottles that may be lying in your yards or in the gutter, etc. Pay attention to this. A plastic bottle with a cap, a little Drano, a little water, a small piece of foil. I'm at the bottom of my range. Disturb it by moving and boom! No fingers left and other serious effects to your face, eyes, etc. Please ensure that everyone that may not have email access all are also informed of this. I love the grammar.
Okay.
I thought they had better grammar in Britain.
Let's Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Public service doesn't always come with good grammar. So who here thinks that this is true? We got one.
One true.
Thank you, Joel.
All right.
Who thinks it's false? We got a number. Anyone on the fence?
All right. Cool.
That's okay. That's okay to admit that.
All right.
The drum roll, Sean.
It's true.
Wait, what?
It is actually true. Yeah, well, according to multiple police departments' reports, this is true. There have been several dozen incidents around the world of this happening. And I don't want to admit that it's true. Like, we normally, I think we've had like 3 true debunkables ever.
I think 2.
The whole show, 2?
Yeah.
This is the second one? Okay.
This is the second one.
These are called Drano bombs or soda bombs or MacGyver bombs. And folks have had severe cuts, second and third degree burns, and even some have been blinded and lost fingers from the bombs.
Ouch.
Now, many of these injuries have happened to the geniuses that were trying to put the bomb together. So, not the intended prank victim. But these ingredients are unstable, and if you combine them, they do heat up to an extremely high temperature and can cause an explosion. So don't do that. This is the lesson learned. So no one should try to do this, or you could seriously injure yourself, because they are incredibly unstable. So this time, the Facebook post is legitimate. If you see a soda bottle on your lawn that shouldn't be there, and it looks like it might be bulging a little bit, you be extremely careful, and you might want to call the police. It's actually legit.
Yeah, I mean, that shouldn't discourage people from picking up litter in their yard.
Yeah, if the cap's not on it.
Yeah,
it's trash.
It's trash.
Just throw it away.
But
if there is a cap on it,
and
it looks kind of suspicious, you know.
Maybe be careful.
Yeah. All right, so we have one last one, Tom.
All right, this also comes courtesy of my Facebook news feed. It says, please don't flash your headlights in any car with no headlights on. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. You're driving at night, and you see someone with their headlights off. You flash them.
My mom, who I think is watching live. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
She actually told me that when I started driving.
Okay.
Don't flash your headlights at somebody.
Okay. Well, this says police officers is working with the DARE program and has issued this warning. If you are driving after dark and see an oncoming car with no headlights on, do not flash headlights at them. This is a common Bloods gang member initiation game.
Yep.
The new gang member, under initiation, drives along with no headlights on, and the first car to flash their headlights at them is now his target. He is now required to turn around and chase that car, and then shoot and kill the individual in the vehicle in order to complete his initiation requirements. Police department across the nation are being warned. The gang's intent is to have Bloods nationwide drive around on Friday and Saturday nights with their headlights off. In order to be accepted into the gang, they have to shoot and kill all individuals in the first auto that does a courtesy flash. Please forward to all loved ones immediately.
Yep. Okay, so who thinks this one is true? Anybody? No?
Tough crowd.
My mother scared me to death with this. I mean, and she was very specific. Mom's going to kill me. But, you know, she was very specific. Friday and Saturday, you don't do it. That's the days you don't do it. But nobody else thinks it's true. Right. Really? Wow. Okay. Who thinks it's false? Everybody? A lot of people?
Right.
Undecideds? Any undecideds out there? Okay.
All right, the drum roll.
And this Facebook forward is?
False. The dangers of flashing your headlights.
Sorry, Mom.
Not only might you be temporarily blinded or anger another driver, but you could be setting yourself up for death by hardcore gangsters, right? No, this one immediately caught my attention on Facebook because I had seen it years before via email. And in fact, according to Snopes.com and UrbanLegends.about.com, this hoax has been preying on people's worst fears since at least 1993. And back then it was spread by fax, if you can believe it.
Oh, I love those fax forwards.
Yeah.
Those were good times. It is really amazing how far these can go back. I mean, some, like we were saying, go back all the way to the mail forwards. And it's just the same old falsehood spread with new technology.
Yeah. Now, what happened with this one was back in the early 90s, the hoax actually took in a couple of government officials and police departments who also forwarded it. And maybe that's what's given it the credibility to kind of sustain it all these years. But basically, there's never been a single reported incident of an actual gang-related shooting related to flashing your headlights at someone. There have been cases of road rage over repeated flashing, but it hasn't had anything to do with an initiation by the Bloods.
Somebody really had road rage over someone flashing their lights at them?
Like multiple times. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Wow. That's pretty bad.
Besides, anyone know this is totally the type of thing the Crips would do?
All right, so it looks like... And we're not going to be alive next week. You have to stop insulting the gangs.
Why?
I've told you that also.
It's Riverside. It's safe.
We're on the internet. Right there.
Okay.
All right. We got some questions?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we do.
I think we do.
Does anyone want to read a question?
Anybody?
Anyone at all?
I'll read it.
Okay. Ray's going to read it.
As soon as I pull it up, I'll look at your screen. Sandra asks, actually, this is my question, so you should read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sandra asks, we have a Google Nexus that we're trying to get activated with T-Mobile. We need the IMEI number.
Ah.
We don't know how to find it, and T-Mobile is asking me for that number. Would you let us know how to find the number? Thanks.
Sure. Sandra, thanks for your voicemail, if you're listening. The IMEI number is the International Mobile Station Equipment Identity Number.
That's catchy.
Yeah, that's why they call it IMEI number. It's a unique number that each mobile phone has that is used to identify stolen cell phones. Basically, if you lose your phone, you can call the phone network and they'll blacklist that phone so that no one can activate it on that network. It usually does work on multiple networks. Like if you got AT&T and you call them, they'll blacklist it on T-Mobile and I think Verizon also. And it makes your phone useless because they can't activate the phone now, or at least useless for making phone calls. I don't remember the last time I made a phone call, so I don't really use it for that purpose, but I hear that they can make phone calls.
They can also get on Facebook.
On Facebook, yes, I use it for that. So there are three relatively easy ways to find the IMEI number. The easiest is to look on the box. You remember you got a box with the phone on it. That's the easiest way to find it. It's usually located right above the UPC code. So you look on the box, find the UPC code, boom, you got it. But, of course, I actually saw a few faces out there that cringed. So people do throw away the box after they open their new phone. So.
It's okay.
So the second way that works on almost all Android phones, I actually learned this, is to click the All Apps button. And then from that menu, find and select Settings. Then under the Systems section, select About Phone. And then finally, click Status, and then scroll down through, and you'll locate your phone's okay. IMEI.
So now I know what another one of those mystery numbers in the settings, phone settings are.
Yep, and there's actually a really easy way. If you open your phone app and dial in *#06#, that'll also give you your IMEI number.
There you go.
And that works on practically every phone out there. Very few phones, even dumb phones. Everyone's trying it, aren't you? It's *##06#. Anybody get a no result? It worked? Hey, look at that. It worked. See? That's one of those cool little phone tricks that you can do, make your phone do fun things by punching numbers. And it works on smartphones, too. Say again? And it gives you an extra life in Mario. No, that's up, down, left, right, BA start. Yes!
No,
still remember.
That was Contra.
Contra,
right?
It worked in one version of Mario.
No. No.
I know it's the Konami code.
Konami did not make Mario.
Getting called out by the audience. This is bad.
Yeah, you're a bad nerd. Okay. We have a voicemail here.
Do we have it?
I don't probably have it. Could I hold my microphone up to?
Hey, watch this. Check it out.
Hello. My name is Jonathan. I'm calling from Jacksonville, Florida. I was wondering if you guys know of a way to get data, like contacts and pictures, etc., off of my old 4-year-old AT&T SIM card. I was in a Nokia phone, just a feature phone, into my new Metro PCS smartphone. Now, the old phone does have kind of a mini USB-ish jack, but none of the wires in my kind of wire graveyard box seems to fit. Thanks for any help.
Awesome. That worked great.
Yeah, it did.
Sometimes you can do things the old tech way, and it still works.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, basically, Donovan is trying to transfer data from his old Nokia dumb phone, feature phone.
On AT&T, apparently.
On AT&T, right. And he looked through all this stuff and he can't find the cable that works. So thanks for the voicemail, Donovan. Now, for listeners who don't know, like I was saying, a feature phone is basically any phone that's not a smartphone. It's not an iPhone or a Windows phone or an Android phone.
We don't like to say dumb phone, but, you know.
I say dumb phone, but.
In other words, just about every phone made 2008 or earlier is a feature phone. That was the dark age of cell phones. Yes. Sean, hold that up proudly.
There you go.
It's even a Nokia, yes.
And it's a Nokia. Was that? I wonder if that was Donovan's.
Can you fake an Irish accent?
Well, Donovan, you didn't mention the model number of your old phone. And with those old feature phones, model numbers are very important because they all worked differently. For instance, most phones from that era didn't work with a standard like micro USB cord the way that almost all modern phones now do.
Except the iPhone.
Well, yeah, except the iPhone. But at least it comes with the required cable. Most feature phones actually didn't come with the required cable. If you wanted to connect your phone to your computer, you needed to buy the phone maker's custom cable. And usually they didn't even sell them in the stores. You had to contact the company either on the web or you called them. And you also needed to buy the software that would allow you to get your phone to talk to your computer.
Yeah, I remember that. I had the Moto Razr. I don't know if anyone remembers that.
I had a Razr.
Did you have a
Razr? It was great, yeah.
I wanted to hook it up to my computer, and I found it was going to cost me like $40 for the cable and another $10 for the software. And
yeah.
That seemed like a huge scam to me at the time.
That's basically like paying $50 for iTunes.
Yeah, basically.
Well, the good news for Donovan is that since nobody needs those custom cables anymore, you can usually find them actually pretty cheaply on Amazon.com or eBay. The bad news is you're going to have to track them down to find them, Donovan, which cable you need. One of the most common cables was the Nokia CA53, and I didn't know that off the top of my head. I had to look it up. but
it's all in here.
Oh, yeah. There are people selling those cables on Amazon for $475. I don't know why. Maybe there's like some company that still uses Nokias, or maybe it's all for Sean. It's all for Sean. There's one store that exists just to sell Sean a cable at some point. But you'll have to check the list of compatible phones to make sure that it'll work with yours. But there's more good news, Tom.
What's that, Ray?
Well, the software that they were trying to charge you insane amounts for back in the day to connect your phone to your PC is now free, at least for Nokia. Just go to Google and search for Nokia PC Suite. The very first search result should be a page where you can download the software. Just install the software, Sean, buy the cable, hook up the phone, and you're almost there.
Cool, almost. Now, your old phone probably had actually two memory storage areas.
Right.
You had the onboard phone memory, and you had the SIM card. Things like photos were probably stored on onboard memory. So when you plug in your phone and use the PC Suite, they should be readily available. But sometimes the contacts you had in your address book were actually stored on your SIM card instead of your phone memory. Now, you can transfer them over, but you do need that old SIM card, so I hope you still have it.
Yeah.
If you do, fire up your phone, and then from standby screen, select menu, and then... you're not going to try it.
I'll try it.
Bring it out. This is a four-year-old Nokia, so I don't know if this will actually work on yours, but we can try. Okay, so where was I? Fire up your phone. From the standby screen, select menu. Okay. And then select the address book. And then scroll down until you find an option that says copy contacts and select that.
See, that's what's awesome about doing this live, because we couldn't do this in the studio. I mean, we could,
because
Sean's
doing?
There. But normally we couldn't. No, wait, I just said that. I don't know what I'm talking about.
He says it's too new. All right, well, on the old phone.
He has a very new old phone.
That's right. There should be two options. One is to copy the contacts from phone to smart chip, which is the SIM card, or from smart chip to phone. And we want to move the contacts off the SIM card onto the phone. So you would select the latter, and then the screen would ask you if you want to copy contacts, and you would say yes, and the phone should start copying the contacts, and then you will have them on your phone memory. And now you can copy them to your computer using the cable and the Nokia PC Suite. So once you've downloaded your piece to your PC, you should be able to hook your Metro PCS phone up to it and transfer whatever it is you need. So Good luck with that, Donovan, and thank you for your voicemail.
And as exciting as it was giving him all this good news, I can tell you I actually did use the Nokia PC Suite years ago on Windows. I think it was XP. It was excruciating. I'll be honest with you. Unless they've updated the software since I tried to use it. I remember I had my first smartphone, or not smartphone, no, it wasn't smart. It was a camera phone, and I was so excited about it. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a camera phone, I can take pictures. But then I realized I had no way to get them out of my phone, because like, well, there's my pictures.
There they are.
What am I going to do with that? So
screen.
I actually was a sucker. I bought the cable, I bought the software, and I instantly regretted it. And wish I hadn't done it. So hopefully they've updated it since then, and it's a little bit easier to use. But even for somebody like me who is fairly comfortable with almost every software package I've used, that one was horrible. Sorry, Nokia.
All right, we got. Do you think we have time for one more question?
I think we do.
Apps.
I don't know. It's your question. It's up to you.
Let's talk apps.
All right.
All right. So. We, you know, we like to talk about what are the cool new apps out for the various phones every so often. And just a couple that I've discovered, and of course, I'm an Android boy, so these are Android apps. Hey, Robert.
Fortunately, most of the apps come out on iPhone first, so you have apps that we already have.
Yeah. You're not going to be my friend. I want to actually do this one. This
I just
is
went
really
down
cool.
a friend. All right, so what do you got?
I want to see if I can take a moment to load up. So I just got an app today called FX Guru, the movie FX director. And I believe this actually is available on the iPhone, to be honest.
I'll see while you're talking.
Yeah, and basically what it does is it allows you to take a video with your phone, and then... It will impose over this video various pretty high quality, like movie quality special effects. So, for instance, I'm going to lob a Molotov cocktail in here, if that's okay. Bold bean. All right, thumbs up. We're good.
Did you really get a thumbs up? I wasn't looking. Thumbs up? Awesome.
All right, I'm going to put it right up on the bar. Hang on a second.
That is insane.
Yeah, it's got like a red overlay. You can't really see it from you guys, but it's...
The magic of radio, people, right here. This is exactly what it'll feel like on the radio. You have no idea what he's doing.
Okay, so it's going to take a few minutes to... it's going to take about a minute to process. But basically, like, you can have UFOs appearing in your video. You can have buildings being destroyed. Now, the way they make their money, I should warn you, is in-app purchases. So you get a couple of...
Yeah.
Special effects for free, and then they want you to buy the rest.
A teaser app.
That's right. It's a teaser app. But it's pretty cool, and I already posted a video to Facebook of me blowing up my apartment. So, you know. Oh, I think we're almost done. Hang on. Okay. You guys probably won't be able to really see anything, but...
put the sound up. On the back. Speakers on the back. Yeah.
Yep, blew up the bar.
Look at that.
So, you know, if you want to have alien probes landing in your video, or if you want to set the neighbor's car on fire, you can totally use this app to do that. It's available for Android. Oh, and it's coming soon to the App Store.
Oh, it's
iPhone.
I just looked for it. I couldn't find it. There was one similar a while ago, like 2 or 3 years ago. We've had it for a long time.
I was impressed with the quality of the special effects on this. Like, it's stupid, but
it actually looks pretty
cool.
If you're bored and you want to blow up things virtually.
That's right.
Well, actually, I'm going to jump in. I have an app and this sounds really cheesy, but it literally has changed my life. It's called Motion X Sleep. And what it does is you turn it on at night and you set it for your alarm when you want to wake up and you turn your phone off and you leave it next to your head. Basically, somewhere near your
head. Like on your pillow?
It could be under your pillow or next to your pillow. You might want to, plug it in so you don't lose your battery.
You don't turn
your
phone completely off.
You turn it off completely.
Really?
No, I mean, not...
You don't power it down.
You don't power it down. You're right, okay. So you just turn it off, the screen off. And what it does is it monitors your sleep during the night. So when you move around or you're in deep sleep and you're, like, practically paralyzed, it keeps track of that. And what happens is... within a half hour window of when you're supposed to wake up, it wakes you up.
Hmm.
Now, when I first heard that, I was like, why would I want to be woken up to a half hour before I need to get up? Because I sleep like a log. I would wake up feeling like terribleness. And so I was like, I want every minute of extra sleep I can get. But the way it works is, when you're in deep sleep, your body's actually producing a hormone that pretty much paralyzes you. And when you wake up in that deep sleep, you feel horrible because that hormone is still pumping through your body, and because you're supposed to not be moving. That's why when you wake up and you go, I don't want to wake up, and you get caffeine. But what this does is it wakes you up in that sweet spot when you're sleeping lightly. Like, have you ever woken up like to the sunshine and the birds, and you're like, oh, wow, this is great? Well, literally with this app, every single morning is like that. It's really fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it changed my life. It's really awesome.
Okay.
It also will, you can, if you put it in your pocket or in your purse or whatever, it'll track your... I don't have a... I have a man purse. I got my messenger bag. I don't carry it. My satchel. All right.
Satchel.
Merce. It was a merce.
It's European.
So, but if you carry your phone with you all the time, you can actually use it as a pedometer to keep track of your walking during the day, because it works with the motion, with the sensors on there. And Motion X Sleep. I believe the last time I saw it, it was $299.
So not a freebie.
Not a freebie, but it is worth it. I'm serious. It's worth it. There's another app that works similarly called Smart Alarm. I haven't tested that one out, but it's supposed to work the same way. And actually, Motion X is the same company that makes the technology. Have you ever seen the Up bracelets that they came out a little while ago? Crickets. That's okay. But it's really cool. It works really well. And you can set that half-hour window to be even smaller, like a 15-minute window, or if you really, really want to make sure that you wake up at that peak time, you can set it to like an hour.
Okay, so, nice.
And it, believe me, if you have to get up at 7 and you wake up at 6:30 and you feel amazing, you won't care. You'll enjoy the extra half hour of your life.
I think there is a ripoff of that for Android. It's a paid app, so I didn't try it out. I do have an alarm clock app I want to mention, though.
Okay.
It's called Alarm Clock Plus, and it's only for Android. But it's kind of cool because it just gives you a lot of options. You can have your phone flash, buzz, or light up to wake you up. You can also set it so it requires you to solve a math problem in order to dismiss the alarm. Yes. Yes. You can actually choose the difficulty of the math problem, too. So if you're really bad at math, you might want to go easy. But if you're a genius, you know, you could do some calculus equations. I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
That's cool. A feature that I like a lot is it has a easy nap, what they call it, the easy nap mode. You just sort of hold down this button that says nap, and it'll ask you, you know, how long? And you say 30 minutes. And you can predefine settings like the math question or how you want it to wake you up and stuff. But, you know, like with my normal alarm, when I want to take a nap, I'm like, got to be like, all right, what's 45 minutes from now? Okay, program that in, blah, blah, blah. I like that this just automatically does that for you, basically.
It's too bad that is on Android and this is on iPhone, because it'd be great to have this, and then if you sleep through that, you could get that.
Yeah, the math problems and the like, flashing lights.
If you still didn't wake up, you're good. You got a backup plan. What, anything else?
That's it for me as far as apps.
Yeah, I haven't had any new apps this week. I talked about this in a previous episode. There's two apps that I have that I'm using constantly called Apps Gone Free and App Gratis. And what they do is they tell you all the apps that normally cost money, but they're free today or this week. So I have gone crazy. I've been downloading every app, but I'm downloading so many apps I don't have time to look at them. But I've been playing with Infinity Blade because it's normally like $5.99. I finally got it for free. So I'm like,
nice.
Yes. So I'm trying to earn the Infinity Blade now. But Apps Gone Free is a great one. I have seen both of the apps that I mentioned on Apps Gone Free for free, even though they're $2.99 normally.
Cool. So. And we'll have links to these in the show notes for this podcast so you can find them.
All right. So you want to... Another question?
All right, sure.
All right, I'll read it.
Okay.
Let's see. Rachel, or does anyone else want to read it? Anybody?
It's your chance to be internet famous. Robert,
come
over
come
here.
Come on, Robert.
Internet famous. Give it up for Robert, everybody.
Rachel H. writes, I have an LG Android phone. I've had it for a couple of years, and it has always worked great for me. But lately, it seems like it's starting to get slower. I downloaded the Advanced Task Manager app so I can kill apps that might be running, but that doesn't seem to help. The guys at Verizon's store were clueless. Any ideas?
You read that very animatedly. Thank you. Thank you. And to be clear, Rachel's referring, I think, to an Android phone. So, Rachel, I feel your pain.
Yeah, the LG.
Yeah. Yep. My last phone was a Droid X. When I first got it, it was so shiny and fast and responsive. But then after like 2 years, it really started to crawl. So what was the deal with that?
So what is it, some program that's using up her memory, or is Rachel on the right track with that task memory app? We don't have to deal with anything like that in iPhone. We can just shut things off.
Yes.
It's really kind of nice.
Actually, you can now do that in Android as well, which is the reason this is not necessarily a great idea. The Android operating system on your phone is pretty good at managing what apps are running and the memory in general. And killing an app that's running in the background manually may actually cause it to take up more memory, because what happens is the app will automatically restart, which takes up system resources.
Okay.
On the flip side, I guess Task Manager lets you see what you're running, so if there is some app running you don't want to use, you can note uninstall it. But there is an app out there that might be better for this purpose, which is called Watchdog Manager Lite from Zomut. Watchdog keeps an eye on your phone's CPU usage.
From Zomut.
Zomut.
Zomut?
I don't know.
That's an interesting word or name.
Watchdog
Manager Lite.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that do?
So it keeps an eye on your phone's CPU usage, which is geek speak for the central processing unit that runs your phone. If you
the
have
brains.
Brains.
The
yeah, the brains of the phone. Exactly. If you have a rogue app or a task that's crunching up a lot of that CPU time, Watchdog will spot it. Another good question is, how much free space do you have on your phone? This can also be a big issue over time as you install more and more apps.
Right.
You know,
I notice that on the iPhone too. When I have a ton of apps on there, I start to see a difference.
Believe it or not, this can actually slow your phone down quite a bit. So it might be time to go through the apps you've got installed, even the free ones, and clean house. Rooting your phone, if you're into that, which you know is or jailbreaking for iPhone users, is usually a great way to get more speed. You can ditch Verizon's clunky interface, and get something lighter, faster, and speedier. But even if you're not willing to hack your phone, you do have options. There's an app called Launcher Pro that will allow you to customize your home screens, what the buttons along the bottom do, and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
Now, how does this help you? Well, the more home screens you have, like my Droid X had 7, the more memory that takes. So do you really need 7 home screens? I didn't. Dropping down to just 3 or 4 could really speed up your phone. I actually installed this app on my old Droid X, and it did speed things up considerably. You should note that it will wipe all your home screens clean, and you will have to set things up all over again. So don't do it unless you have some time on your hands.
Yeah, really.
Also, if you use a lot of widgets, those are great, you know, because you don't have to open the app to see what's going on. But they do take memory because they're running all the time. So you might want to consider scaling back how many widgets you're using. And finally, those cool moving wallpapers that looked really impressive on the shelf in the store, they take up a lot of memory. Get rid of them. Bite the bullet. Switch over to an old-fashioned static wallpaper. So that's my advice for Rachel.
Cool. All right. Well, it seems like now is a perfect time to tell you about some announcement now that most everybody's gone. But, you know, Tom and I love doing Demobile Tech, and we love to help
people with
their tech problems. But we can't do everything, though. You know, we can't come to your house and fix your computer.
No.
We can't take apart your iPhone and replace the screen. We can't set up the software for you on your laptop. And we get requests for those types of things all the time. But there's just a limit to what we can do. And, you know, when we talked for about 5 minutes, I think was the most we gave it consideration. But we did talk about, you know, maybe we could set up a business to do tech support for folks. But honestly, we don't have the time.
Yeah, we both have other jobs, believe it or not.
And it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time just to do what we do at Demobile Tech every week. And we'll talk about more of that in a little bit. But we realized during that conversation that there are already tons of small businesses out there and individuals out there that are already doing that type of work.
Mm-hmm.
We know because a lot of them are our friends, and some of them have been guest hosts on the show, like Elizabeth Pampalone, Aaron Edelson, who read one of our questions, and Kevin Clark. So we didn't want to create another company to compete with them when they were already doing a great job. So instead, what we're going to do, and what we've actually already launched tonight, is a small business IT directory on Deemable.com. So you can go to Deemable.com and click the business directory link, and there you can find small businesses. Right now it's just here in Jacksonville because that's all that we've had submitted so far. But they provide computer repair service, phone repair service, website development, app development, and consulting work. And we're going to be adding a rating system so you can go in and rate your experience with that business too. Right now, like I said, the directory is extremely small, but it's literally only four businesses right now. But it will grow. And if you run a small business, if you're listening online or on our podcast, you can go in there and submit your company as well. And it's at no cost. And if we know you, of course, we'll just go ahead and add you with no questions. But if we don't know you, then if you can include a testimonial about your company from someone who can vouch for your services, then that'll speed things along. And we'll be reviewing them and adding them as fast as we can. So
yeah,
we hope that our business directory will be a huge resource, not only for our listeners, but also for all of the great, hardworking small businesses out there that are helping people in person with their tech problems.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was our first announcement. Now, I mentioned that it does take a lot of work and time to do just what we do on Deemable Tech every week. And a lot of people don't realize it, but we don't actually get paid to do this. We have some awesome sponsors that help us make this happen, but we don't have any funding other than that. A Small Orange, which if you've ever listened to the podcast, you've probably heard me say at the beginning, Deemable Tech is
a Small Orange.
A Small Orange, right. Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange. Homegrown hosting. I forgot the rest of it. A refreshingly different approach to web hosting.
There you go.
On the web at asmallorange.com. It's a recording. That's why I couldn't remember it. But A Small Orange actually provides hosting for our website in exchange for an underwriter credit. We mentioned it before, but of course, WJCT is a huge supporter of Deemable Tech. They let us use their studios, which would cost us thousands of dollars if we were to rent it anywhere else. And in exchange for that, we, of course, let them free use of our shows. And right now, they're broadcasting a short segment that we do Thursday mornings during Morning Edition at 6:45 and 8:45 a.m.
35, actually.
35?
Yeah.
I listened to the show. I should know it's at 35. 6:35 and 8:35 a.m. And if you haven't heard that, definitely check it out on 89.9 FM. And we can't say enough about WJCT. Melissa Ross and Scott Kim, who isn't here at WJCT now, but he originally gave me the green light to start working on this. And, of course, Karen Fagans. All of them have been incredibly supportive. And literally, if it wasn't for them, we probably wouldn't even exist. Oh, and Sean Birch, our producer. Sean,
that guy right there. He is a rock star.
That's we met at WJCT when I was volunteering back there. We recently started a similar relationship with Folio Weekly. We write 2 to 3 articles a week on their website, and they give us one article a week in the print newspaper. So that gives us a lot of publicity that we wouldn't otherwise have, and we really thank Folio Weekly. So while we have great supporters in WJCT, Folio Weekly, A Small Orange, what we don't have is money coming in to pay the bills. So one of those bills is we want to make an app. One of the problems that we have is that a lot of our listeners have is that they don't know how to subscribe to a podcast.
We are a podcast. So
yeah, we're
that's
a podcast. So we get that question a lot. So, and we've tried to help it by educating people on what a podcast is and how to subscribe to it. But almost everyone knows how to download an app. I mean, you go to the App Store, you go to the App Catalog or the Google Play or whatever it's called on your device, and you download it. So all you have to do is go to the store and search for it and download it. It makes it easier. So we want to make an app that's easy to find, easy to use. Unfortunately, it's not cheap to make an app. So tonight, we are actually... I wrote my notes wrong. We are launching a Kickstarter campaign to make an app for Deemable Tech. We did a lot of research, and we found out that the average app costs between $5,000 and $10,000 to develop.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. But I did some more research into it, and I looked for every resource we could find to bring that price down lower for us. So we found a way that we can get one developed that'll do the job for what we want it to do for just over $1,000. So that's what we set our goal on Kickstarter for. If we go over our goal, then that's great. We'll use that money to develop the app more and give it additional features. So As soon as it launches, as soon as our Kickstarter campaign launches, we'll let everyone know. It should be within the next couple of days.
Okay, yeah.
We'll post it on Facebook and Twitter and let you know. Make sure we got business cards all up here to follow
us. Yes, come grab
us
some
if
business
you
cards.
You'll also, of course, be able to go to Kickstarter.com and search for Deemable Tech, and we'll have a link on Deemable.com as well. The campaign will close on the 18th. So whenever it starts, it's going to close on the 18th of March. So exactly 28 days from today will be the drop-dead date. If we raise enough money, we'll do the app, we'll make it. If not, we'll be sad.
Tear.
Yeah. And our last announcement is that Deemable Tech, us, will be at OneSpark.
Yeah, OneSpark. Who here knows about OneSpark? Anyone? Yeah.
Very cool.
Oh, great.
So for the few people that don't know, OneSpark is a crowdfunding festival that's happening here in Jacksonville, April 17th through the 21st. Creators from around the world are coming to downtown Jacksonville to show off their creations and compete for a portion of $250,000. What's really cool is that the prize money will go to the creators in proportion to the percentage of votes that they get. So if we get 1% of the vote, we get $2,500.
That's pretty good.
If we get 10% of the vote, we'll get $25,000. We can't, it's mathematically impossible to get 100% of the vote, right?
I mean, you could.
Yeah. But what's cool is that you can vote for multiple creators in the festival. So we are actually having creators come on our show, and we're promoting them as well because there are a lot of amazing creators in this festival.
There's a lot of really cool stuff going on, and we want to support it.
We had Angel Torres from
Aurora.
Aurora, thank you guys. Last week, and we have another one coming up next week. What's it called? Alert the Boss.
Alert
the Boss.
It's
a really cool app. Yeah, you'll have to listen to next week's episode to find out more about it.
I don't even know about this.
I just talked to him yesterday. But we're going to be at Ignite Adeco's venue at the corner of Main and Bay Street during the festival. So make sure to come out and visit us and make sure to visit all the other incredible creators. They're going to be at OneSpark and make sure to vote for us. So,
all right.
I guess that's it.
I think it's a wrap.
That's about all the time we got for tonight. Thanks for your questions, for the folks who submitted questions. Keep them coming.
Thanks for everyone here supporting us and reading questions and just being cool people.
And, of course, if you have a question, give us a call at our toll-free number. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email at questions@deemable.com. And subscribe to the show, like we were talking about before. Search for Deemable Tech on iTunes, or if you have an Android device, you can point your favorite podcast app to dmbl.co/pod. Our producer is Sean Birch. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And you all were amazing. And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening.
Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, Homegrown Hosting. A refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com.
Who put a chicken in there? Come on.
Why not put a chicken in there?
That's true.